1, 2, 1, 2. Check, check, 1, 2. You good? Thank you.
Lord God, we just thank you for your presence here this morning. God, we just enjoy you. We just enjoy you. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. We're going to do just a beautiful time of worship with you. And if you want to stand up, if you want to dance around, if you want to lay down, even that is acceptable in the house of God.
Merciful.
is eternity. I invite you to just consider how great He is. How amazing is your Father, God Almighty, King of kings and Lord of lords. He is holy, holy, the great I am. Be close, close to your side, so heaven is real and death is alive. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one, hallelujah, holy, holy God Almighty, great I am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, the great I am. Want to be near, near to your heart, loving the world, hating the dark. Wanna see dry bones living again, singing as one, hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, great I am. Worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, great I am, hallelujah, hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, great I am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, great I am. The mountains shake before you, the demons run and flee at the mention of the name, King of Majesty. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am, 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 the great I am. Hallelujah. Almighty, great I am, hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, great I am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, great I am. mountains shake before you, the demons run and flee at the mention of the name, King of Majesty. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I Am. The great I Am, the great I Am, the great I Am, great I Am, great I Am. Oh, hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, great I Am, who is worthy, stand beside thee, God Almighty, great I Am. Hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, great I Am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, great I Am. Oh, oh, great are you, Lord. Oh,
I want to be close.
Wanna be close, close to your side, where heaven is real and death is a lie. I wanna hear voices of angels above, singing as one, hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, the great I Am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, the great I Am, hallelujah, holy, holy, not almighty, great I Am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, great I Am.
I wanna be
near to your heart, loving the world, but hating the dark. I want to see dry bones living again, singing as one,
mystery he lavishes.
And you may be seated. Let's pray together. Lord, what a glorious way to enter into your presence, Lord, and just declare your praises, declare your majesty, declare your love for us. Lord, your love for us is far beyond anything we can possibly comprehend. And Lord, we thank you that the veil was torn and that we can enter into the Holy of Holies and bow before you and acknowledge your presence and give glory and majesty to the name that is above every other name. Heavenly Father, we give you glory. We praise you and thank you for providing a way for our salvation, for reaching down to us when we were yet sinners. You sent your Son to die for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the fact that you were the Lamb that was slain. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for the gospel, the good news that you have given us to share. You've given us as a blessing, and we thank you, Lord. So this morning we do praise you and thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the fresh spring rains. We thank you, Lord, for your provision for everything that we have in life. And Lord, as we gather this morning, we also want to thank you for answered prayer. We want to thank you, Lord, for those that you have touched through physical healing. We've encountered this week, and we praise you and thank you, Lord, for the miracles that we've seen over the past few years of just how you have touched bodies and lives, brought about healing in miraculous ways, and we thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for this family that you've called us into and the mission field that you've called us to be a part of and to reach out to. So, Lord, we give you the praise and the thanks for that. Lord, we pray for those in our church family that are struggling right now, maybe those that have lost a loved one, those that are going through serious illness. Lord, we pray that you would be their comfort, their guide, their strength. Lord, we pray for healing for those that are sick. We pray for comfort and for peace for those that are mourning. And Lord, for those in our church family that are praying for loved ones that don't know you, Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you would reach out to them and touch them and encounter them. Lord, answer the prayers that we are praying for salvation for our loved ones. Lord, we pray for the lost in our community. We pray for our area of South Kansas City. Lord, that so frequently there's violence, and we pray, Lord, for peace. And we pray, Lord, that you would be Lord of Lords over these streets. You'd be King of Kings. Lord, that you would encounter many with your grace. Lord, give us a passion for praying for the lost. Give us a passion for praying for those in our region that do not know you. Because, Lord, we know that it doesn't matter what laws man puts in place, there's only one solution. You're our solution. We trust you. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our president and cabinet and House of Congress, the Senate. Lord, we pray that you would give them wisdom. Lord, that you would lead and guide. Lord, I pray they would turn aside from the ways of man, the ideas of man. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we praise you and thank you for everything that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for our daily bread that you provide us with. And Lord, we pray that even now as we get to worship you in giving our tithes and offerings and gifts, Lord, I pray that you would take these and use them for your glory, for your kingdom. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning. If you're at the back, there's plenty of seats. We've got tables over on this side. And we're going to, the ushers will come around now, but if you'd like to give online, and you can also text to give. Josh, if you've got that slide, you could put up there. You can give by text, but you can also scan the QR code on the little white stand on your tables, and that'll take you to our Church Track website where you can click on the link to give online. But there's also information on there. That's a good place to go to. It's not just for giving. you can stay in touch with everything that's going on and keep in touch with the events and things that are happening in and around the church. Just as I was praying, I was reminded, we were sharing last night, we've been praying, and I want to thank Brett and Gulnara for calling us to prayer over the last 9 days, and 10 days, 9 days, who's counting? For those of you who don't know, we were gathering in the chapel from 7 to 8 every night. And then last night we were praying for healing for certain people, and I think Sharon just said, you know, God really has already been healing a lot of people. And we've experienced and we've encountered so many miracles. There's one right at the back there. So, yeah, that table just has some miracles right there. Lynn, last year we thought we were going to lose her, and the Lord brought her back. And Reba, on Monday night, the family was called in because they said this might be her last night. And I praised the Lord because I was able to visit her on Tuesday, and she was sitting up and she wouldn't let me leave. She was talking so much. So God is healing and God is blessing His family. So yeah, if you want to hear the full story, I'm sure Reba would love to share it. Cammy could share. But just thank you for your prayers. And let's be a church that thanks God for healing. Because He's still, I got to pray with a lady who she was leaving after the early service with the sore shoulder. And just thank the Lord for healing her. And so just praise God for what He is doing in our midst. Well, let me pray before we jump into God's Word. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that Your Word is truth. Thank You, Lord, that Your truth always reveals new things to us. And we pray, Lord, that today You would speak to us, challenge us, convict us. And Lord, we pray that we would be changed by Your Word, Your power of Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So have you ever tried walking on two different paths? Nope. You haven't tried to walk on two different paths? I'm talking figuratively. It doesn't work, does it? I know physically you can't walk on two different paths. Incidentally, Emily and Jordan, congratulations. I just to see you there now. And there's another answer to prayer. They have two healthy baby boys that, I don't know, 6 months ago, it was very much in question. So we praise God. And so good to see you here this morning. So, have you tried walking on two different paths? I'm talking about physically, it's obviously impossible to put your feet on two different trails, but figuratively, Debbie and I were doing this. I've shared this story many times, but I'm going to share it one more time. But in 1997, we got the opportunity to come to America, and I was pursuing my business, and I just started a business. We'd only been married for a little over a year. And Debbie was pursuing her career as a midwife and doing really well. We had just built a house that was beautiful and overlooked some farmland, and in the corner you could see the Indian Ocean, and we just loved it. We had a great group of friends. We lived in a very beautiful part of the world, and we were comfortable. Things were good. And the Lord said, He directed us to go to America through a green card opportunity through a nursing agency that Debbie got. And what began then as a, well, maybe we should go, began us walking on two different paths at the same time. We began following two different visions for our lives at the same time. So I felt, no, yes, maybe we should go, but I'm going to keep pursuing my business. And I started taking bigger contracts and eventually moved into an office and started hiring people. And Debbie began pursuing, and we agreed on she should pursue it, but she began pursuing the nursing agency. She came, they flew her over to Savannah, Georgia. She wrote the exam. She did really well. And we continued. These two paths began getting further and further apart. Well, eventually, what happens when you try to put your foot on the boat and on the dock at the same time? You know, it ends in a crash. And we ended up coming up against a crash. God was determined to send us to this nation. And finally, we agreed that this is what should happen. But it came to a crisis point. It was a painful time in our lives. And we could have avoided that if we hadn't walked on two different paths at the same time. What I had to realize was I had idols in my life, and those idols were the things that were driving me to the pursuit of business and financial gain and so on. And the Lord was calling us in a different direction. So today, you'll see how that fits. Today, we're speaking about and continuing our series on mountaintop experiences. We come to Mount Carmel. And Mount Carmel is a not a large mountain in height, but it's a long mountain range, really. It's about 1,700 feet, and it's about 20 miles, I think it's 20 kilometers, 20 miles, I'm not sure, west of Nazareth. And there should be a slide with the map so you can see where it is on the map. And sorry, this projector went out, so I apologize. Maybe it was a lightning strike. So you may want to kind of look on this side. But Mount Carmel was known as a place of beauty and lush vegetation, fertility. Things would grow there easily, and it was beautiful. A lot of trees, and people could grow crops around the region. It became a symbol of health and God's blessing for the nation. Well, what we're talking about today is Elijah confronting the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. And what had happened was there was a famine in the land. God had begun judging the nation and had withheld rain, and there was a famine in the land. And as a result of the famine, Mount Carmel was dry and barren. Nothing was growing. And it became a deserted place. And it was obviously that God was punishing the nation because of their devotion to foreign gods. So God brought them to a place of crisis. This is the period of time. It's about 900 BC, and it's the period of time of the kings. If you read 1 and 2 Kings, you come across chapter after chapter of different kings. And this king followed after the Lord. This king did not follow after God and did things that were evil in the sight of the Lord. And sadly, most of the kings were not following after God. But this particular king of the northern kingdom of Israel, 900 BC, was King Ahab. And King Ahab was particularly bad. In verse 30 of 1 Kings 16, we read, "And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him." So God was punishing the land. But this king, not only was he just going away from the ways of the Lord like his forefathers or like King David had done, but he also married Jezebel. And Jezebel was the daughter of the pagan king of Sidon. And along with this marriage came in all the foreign gods and the worship of the foreign gods of this pagan nation, particularly the gods of Baal. The nation of Israel began following two paths, following the paths of these idols, these foreign gods, and then following the path of the Lord. And it was heading towards a crisis. The term Baal, though, isn't just one god. It literally means owner or lord over a region. And so people would have little Baal gods for different regions. And if that region was flourishing, well, the god was blessing that region. And then others in this area, if they weren't paying attention to their god of Baal, then that area, the crops wouldn't grow very well. So it became this superstition relating to the fertility of the land and the production of crops, and also in the human birth rate. So this term Baal is not just one god, it's multiple gods relating to the owner of the region. So the drought, the famine in the land was really pointing to the fact Baal was not doing his job. And it was calling into question this worship of this idol, this entity that was man-made and didn't really consist of anything. So the drought brought about a standoff. It brought about a conflict between the one true God and this pagan god, this demonic entity. So turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, we're going to read from verse 17 to 40, this account of Ahab and Elijah.
So beginning of verse 17, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I only am left, a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire on it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. And you will call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered, "It is well spoken." And Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many, and call upon the name of your God and put no fire to it." And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, and they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar as great as would contain two seahs of seed. And he put wood in order and cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood, and he said, "Fill four jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." And he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. And at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there. Amen. I love preaching in the Old Testament. You always got to read a long story. And that was not really long, but it's such a powerful account. And remember, these aren't just Sunday school stories. This really took place. And Elijah begins speaking to Ahab, the king of Israel. And they begin trading insults. "Oh, you troubler of Israel." No, "you're the troubler of Israel." And Elijah fully realized who he was speaking to. He was speaking to the king that not only had the power to execute him, but already had executed a bunch of other followers of the Lord. But Elijah had no doubt as to who he was with. Elijah knew that God was with him and that he would be protected. So King Ahab wasn't, I'd say, he was a bad spiritual leader, but as a leader over the nation, he had some military victories. He was quite a significant power at the time and had defeated the forces of Syria and pushed back the boundaries. But however, he made poor choices. He made poor choices. He had married Jezebel, like I said, and she was a devotee to the pagan gods of Baal and Asherah. And when she came in, she devoted herself and she devoted the nation to these pagan gods. She wasn't interested in walking two paths. Jezebel wanted nothing to do with Yahweh. She was devoted to these pagan gods. She didn't have any time for coexistence. Isn't it interesting? The people that say, well, we need to kind of get together and agree, and maybe we can do this together. She had no time for Yahweh, but she expected them to worship her gods. And she had had hundreds of the prophets of the Lord executed in her pursuit of the prophets of Baal, or the gods of Baal. Elijah, on the other hand, is a bit of a mystery. We don't really know his descendants. We don't know where he comes from. All we read that he was a Tishbite from Gilead. And a Tishbite, all it means is the word Tishbe means settler. So he was a settler in Gilead. All we know, he could have come from any other part of the world, and he settled in Gilead, and he became a prophet of the Lord. So we don't know where he really comes from. But it seems like throughout the Bible, he keeps on showing up. He becomes a very key point or person in the Bible. And we meet Elijah, and he suddenly appears to, the first time we meet him is in 1 Kings 17, verse 1. And he speaks to Ahab. He says, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." So Ahab, even before, knew Elijah was causing this drought. He was withholding the rain by the power of God. And Elijah appears throughout the Bible. In fact, the Old Testament in Malachi ends with the prophet giving the word of the Lord in verse 5 of Malachi chapter 4. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." This was probably 500 years after Elijah had died. And in the New Testament, the theme of Elijah keeps showing up. In fact, in Matthew 17, Elijah is with Jesus and Moses on the Mountain of Transfiguration. We're going to get to that in a few weeks. But he shows up throughout the Bible. He's a key person throughout the Bible. Elijah, he's incredibly bold and courageous. Sometimes he's a bit of a hesitant prophet, but he's incredibly bold and courageous. And he must have taken a lot of courage to meet this pagan, wicked king and queen and call them out and challenge them. Elijah knew who he served. Elijah knew who he was with. When you know who you represent, you can be bold and courageous. You can be bold and courageous. He had no doubt that with God, he would be protected. He would be saved. And so he boldly calls this duel. He calls out Ahab and says, "You're the troubler of Israel because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed Baal's." So he tells King Ahab, he says, "Bring all of the people of Israel together. Gather everyone together and let's have a duel. Bring the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah and let's see whose God is the real God." Elijah was bold. But Ahab, on the other hand, was desperate and he saw an opportunity. If Elijah was the guy causing the drought, if I can get everybody together, then expose Elijah, maybe they will put him to death. Maybe they'll kill him. And so this looked like something that Ahab would agree to because he thought, well, this could be the end of the drought. If I can just get everybody to agree with me that Elijah's the problem, they may do away with him. So everyone comes together, and then Elijah makes this powerful statement. And I believe this is the word that the Lord really wants us to focus on today. In verse 21, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? How long will you go limping between two different opinions? And then he goes on in verse 21, if the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer a word. And he continues to paint this bleak picture in verse 22. I only am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now, we know that Elijah wasn't the only prophet alive. He wasn't the only prophet of the Lord alive. In fact, if you look in previous chapters, there's a man by the name of Obadiah that rescues and saves some prophets and hides them in caves. And so Elijah wasn't alone. He was using a little bit of poetic license. But the reality is, standing in front of all of these people, he was the only one standing representing the God who created all things. But Elijah knew he was in the majority. He knew he was in the majority. When you stand with God, you are always in the majority. You may be alone amongst the people. Everyone may disagree with you, but if you are speaking and standing on the word of God, you are in the majority. The world around us today doesn't like the truth of God's word. But when you stand on the truth of the morality and the ethics of God's word, around you may not be the most popular person. You may not be the in crowd, but you'll always be the majority, because you'll be standing with the one that created all things, and he'll be standing with you. Sometimes there's loneliness in standing for the truth, but don't be discouraged, because know who's standing with you. So he gives this, Elijah says to the pagan prophets, he gives them first choice. He says, you go ahead and take your pick of which bull you want to sacrifice. And after a whole day of futile prayer and yelling and cutting themselves and praying and dancing around, they're unable to bring any fire to the altar. There's nothing, and obviously there's nothing that they can do. Their wooden carved images cannot bring down fire from heaven. And so nothing happens, and Elijah begins taunting them. He mocks Baal. And he's in the process, though, of exposing them. He's exposing this false religion. He knows what he's doing. Again, he's displaying courage. And there's an interesting bit of wordplay. Verse 26, he says, and they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar they had made. The word is exactly the same word that's used in verse 21, where he says, stop limping between two different opinions. They were literally causing the nation to limp as they were dancing around and crying out to Baal. This crying out to Baal goes on for hours and nothing happens. Eventually, Elijah calls an end to it. He says, this is just not happening. It's time. It's time. And he calls everyone to gather around him. He says, come near to me, he says in verse 30. Because probably the prophets of Baal been dancing and carrying on and cutting themselves. People were losing interest. They were starting to wander off. And Elijah intentionally says, come close. I want to show you something. I want to show you what God is about to do. And he begins deliberately repairing the altar of the Lord. This altar that was once a place where the sacrifices were made to God had been demolished. The altar had been torn down. And Elijah deliberately rebuilds it with 12 stones, indicating the 12 tribes of Israel and the unity of the 12 tribes of Israel and God's calling on the nation of Israel. You see, exposing the foolishness of Baal and their idol worship was just one thing. That was just the first part. He had to rebuild the altar. Had to rebuild the altar of devotion and turn the people to once again worshiping God, to bringing the nation back to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, he wasn't just out to reform the people. He wasn't just out to change their way of thinking. He wanted to see a revival. He wanted to see a turning back to God. He wanted to see a change in the nation that was a lasting change. And the first step towards blessing is rebuilding the altar. Rebuilding the altar. And in our personal lives, sometimes the first step towards revival in our own lives is rebuilding those personal altars, those places of devotion to the Lord, those things in our lives that we've let slip, those altars of sacrifice and communion with God. You know, during this time of COVID, during this time of the pandemic, the last year or so, many of our devotional places of worship have been torn down. It's time for rebuilding, a time for putting back in place the things that are necessary for our lives to be followers of Jesus. Maybe in your personal life, you've allowed things to erode. You know, having that daily time set aside where you spend time alone with the Lord and His Word, praying and meditating on God's Word, that's a personal altar of devotion. That's valuable, and it needs to be rebuilt in our lives. Maybe the habit of gathering together as a family to pray, to gather as a family around God's Word on a regular basis, in your family, that's an altar of devotion that needs to be rebuilt. Maybe it's gathering together in worship. Not just the value of worship, but the importance of gathering as the body of Christ, giving financial resources as well as worshiping and encouraging one another, building one another up. That's an altar of devotion that needs to be rebuilt in so many lives. What area of your life is God calling you back to wholehearted devotion? And what is it going to take? What do you need to do to rebuild that altar of devotion? So this altar is rebuilt. He repairs the altar. He repairs the offering place. And then he instructs people to pour water on to the sacrifice. And if you do the math, you realize that he had them pour 12 jars of water onto this sacrifice. Have you ever tried to light a fire with wet wood? And, you know, you can pour gasoline on and fire lighter maybe is the safer way to do it. When I get desperate, I pour gasoline on. But you can pour fire lighter on, and you can light it, and it'll flame up for a little while, and it'll still go out because the wood's wet. So even if there's fire, it doesn't mean it's going to burn. And so he pours these 12 jars of water, and it's the sacrifice is soaked. There's no way it's going to burn. He's very deliberate about his actions. He is demonstrating something by everything that he's doing. And then he prays. He prays. A very simple prayer, nothing ornate. Take hours of prayer, simply calls on God. My friends, prayer is absolutely vital to revival. I don't think there's been a revival in history without the foundation of prayer. It is absolutely key and vital. I mentioned earlier that Brett and Gulnara called us as a church to pray, and I believe that God has moved in power, and He's answering all of the prayers that were prayed this week. But I invite you to come and join. We have times of prayer on Tuesday mornings and Thursday mornings. There's times of gathering for prayer after the service up in the chapel today. But we need to be people of prayer, calling on the name of our God. God responds to prayer. So Elijah prays a very simple prayer. Verse 36 and 37, he says, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. And immediately God responds. Fire comes down from heaven and consumes everything. Now, this is not just a burning bush experience. You know, in the burning bush, the bush was not consumed. As Moses turned to it, he saw the fire, but there was nothing being consumed. But here, God's power falls on this altar and consumes everything, even the dust, the water, the rocks, the stones. This wasn't just a lightning strike. This was the power of God. You know, lightning strikes rocks and things. Sometimes it may crack them. It may leave a little scar or a little black mark, but yeah, there was a hole in the ground. I'm not sure what was left behind because everything was consumed. And the people who had come in close to see, they were terrified. God's display of power. There was instant revival, an instant turning away from these false idols and turning to God. Verse 39 says, when the people all saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." They didn't need any further proof. They chased down the false prophets and they slaughtered them. There was decisive judgment that took place when they encountered the power of God. You know, it's not for us, it's not good enough for us simply to say, "The Lord, He is God," and we keep our idols. You know, sometimes when people go through an awakening, a revival, a time of the Lord, and they say, "Well, I need to move these idols," and they put them in a closet. They don't do away with them completely. We need to completely do away with the things that have attracted our attention. We must hate evil as much as God does. Remove it from our lives. Judgment, though, always prepares the way for blessing. Judgment always prepares the way for blessing. As we remove these idols from our lives, and I'm going to explain a little bit now about idols. We do have idols in our lives. We all have idols, different things that we hold on to. And we simply just move them around and adjust our schedules around them, but they still remain. We need to cut them out of our lives and completely do away with them. Your idol could be anything. It could be your career, your business, your relationships. It could be your finances. Anything that takes away from your worship of God, anything that takes priority over the worship of God, is an idol. Anything that stands in the way of total devotion to God. On the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. For many, pleasure is an idol. Entertainment is an idol. Well, people say, "Well, you know, God is love and he just wants me to be happy." No. He wants you to be holy. He wants you to know him and to worship him. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness often comes with pain because it doesn't bring fulfillment. What God offers is joy, fulfillment, peace as we focus on him and worship him. For many, the first thing that we turn to in the morning is our idol. I'm not talking about coffee. We don't want to address that idol. But I'm talking about the very first thing that we spend our waking moments doing in the morning can become our idol. I'm talking about when you wake up and you turn over and you see that cell phone there, what is the first thing you do on your phone? You check the news app? You check your social media feed? You check your emails? Or do you wake up and spend time praying, devoting the day to the Lord? God wants our devotion. How we begin the day sets the tone for the day. He wants our devotion, our worship of him the first thing in the morning. And this is not legalism. This is not telling you, "Well, this is how you need to schedule your day." You can spend your time with the Lord at any time in the day it works for you. I'm just talking about that very first waking moment. How you spend that time is key in what you give your devotion to. What you focus on in the morning sets the tone for the day. Do we fill our minds in the morning? When we first wake up, do we fill our minds with fear, anxiety, stress of all of the different news feeds that we see, the things that are going on around the world, our social media feeds of what other people are doing and what they're not doing? Or turning our attention to the one that loves us so much that he gave his only son for us? Are we turning our attention to him and saying, Lord, whatever happens today, I give this day to you, and I ask you to lead me through this day. Begin the day in devotion and worship. That is worship. That's when we give our devotion to things. So the challenge is today that Elijah threw out this challenge to the nation, and I believe it's the same challenge to us today. When are we going to stop limping between two opinions? We all have idols. When are we going to stop limping as followers of Jesus because we have these idols we're carrying with us? It's like a backpack we're carrying that's just loaded down with rocks. Or we're totally devoted to God. Whatever is more important, there's nothing more important in our lives than being totally devoted to the King of Kings. Whatever distracts us from that, anything that distracts us from that, that's an idol. Definition, it is an idol in our lives. We have a worship problem. We have a devotion problem. And the truth is, it's all of us. None of us are immune from these things, these idols, these things that distract us from worshiping God. But we need to fight it. A.W. Tozer says, for the Christian, everything begins and ends with worship. Whatever interferes with one's personal worship of God needs to be properly dealt with and dismissed. We all have idols, and they cause us to limp. When fear and anxiety sets in, it becomes an idol. We take our eyes off of God, and we focus on the problem. We are weak in devotion. We are weak in our faith. We're weak in our personal devotion and our personal witness for the Lord. So many don't see idols as problems, though. Many people don't see it as a problem. They say, well, yeah, I like this thing. It's not a problem. But when it starts getting in the way of your worship of God, because you're not running after God the way you're running after these things, you're missing out. I'm not saying this again because I'm the pastor and I have to say this. I'm encouraging you because you're missing out on what God has for you. He wants to bless you with so much more. Joy, peace, knowing him. So my challenge is, rebuild that personal altar of worship in your life, in your family, in your home, in your community. Rebuild those altars of worship, of dedication and devotion to him. And whatever that means for you, whatever that looks like, maybe delete that app off your phone. Maybe take away and shut down that social media account. Maybe changing your spending habits, the way you spend your money. Change your viewing habits, what you watch on TV or how late you watch TV. Maybe changing your career options, what you focus on in your career. Our careers can become our baals, our worship, our idols, even our family and friends, those close to us. God gives us good things. He gives us good family, friends, relationships. But again, they must not take the place of preeminence in our lives. God will not bless a relationship if that relationship removes him as the primary source, focus of our worship. So we need to make some changes. We need to make some changes, and I'm inviting you today, as Brian comes up, we're going to sing a song together, but I'm inviting you today to really look at and think about your schedule and say, what do I need to change? What do I need to maybe do away with, cut off, and replace, and rebuild? I want to read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It speaks so clearly to us today. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let's pray together. Oh God, today we just declare that you are Lord. You're holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, and we worship you today. Lord, forgive us for the things that we've allowed to accumulate in our lives that have taken our attention off of you, the things that we have allowed to accumulate that have caused us to break down the altars of devotion. Lord, forgive us for the fear and anxiety that we've been walking in as well, because that itself becomes an idol, and we repent of that today. Lord, forgive us for walking two paths, for limping, giving our attention to other things. Lord, we pray for revival. We pray for an awakening in our own hearts. I pray for everyone here today and everyone watching online, Lord, that you would encounter us with your presence, your love, your grace, and your mercy. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to, Brian's going to lead us in a song, and I just invite you to stay seated and just close your eyes in an attitude of worship. And allow these words of the song just to soak over you. Meditate on them. Think about them. Maybe make a note of some of the things the Lord's saying to you to do. And then we'll continue with our discussion tables.
Faces, whoa, hello. Lots of new faces that have been coming, and we're so happy to have you. We also have church members who are coming back for the first time, and so we're so happy to have you as well. But we just want to take a minute to explain about this. So during the pandemic, when the church was shut down for a little bit, we were doing church on Zoom. And so we would meet, and we would listen to Pastor Athel's sermons, and then there was a few questions. Are we good? There were a few questions, and then we would pray for each other. And people really enjoyed the discussion time. They enjoyed praying for each other, and there were lots of comments about, oh, I get to know these people that I probably wouldn't have met, you know, at church. And so we started to see that this community was building, even though it was online. And so as we came back, the rows were gone, and the tables were here. And now we have been gathering around these tables and asking questions after the sermon. And I think it's been a really sweet time of building community, building relationships. We're getting to know each other really quickly as we sit together and as we talk about the things that God is showing us. So when we come to church, when we come here to this place, we want to be intentional, and we want to be listening, because the Lord wants to speak to us, right? So he has a message for us, and we want to receive that message. And so we come expecting to hear from the Lord, and then we want to actually put it into practice. We want to apply what we're learning, what we're hearing from the Lord, into our daily walk. And then we come back together the next week and ask each other, how did it go? And we pray for each other and we encourage each other, not in like a condemning or judgmental way, but just a way of helping each other as we're following after Jesus. And so it's been really sweet. I've really enjoyed this past week. I've heard lots of stories about the life groups, continuing the discussion. So the things that are talked about here are talked about during the life group. And then even during prayer times and during just personal conversations with each other, the sermon, the things that the Lord spoke to us keep coming out in our conversations. And that's what we would like to see. That's what we would want to see. So we have these questions, and I'll go over them really quickly. But the first one, we want to talk about, how did it go last week? With what God showed you, how did that go? And that's an easy one to skip over, okay? Because we're like, I don't remember, or I wasn't here, or... But take a few minutes to think back to what was it that we talked about last week. What did God show us? What did we see in the scriptures? And try to think that back. Make a note if you need to. Make a note today so you can talk about it next week. And then the next one is, what's our takeaway? So what did the Lord say to you in this message today? And then how can we walk it out this week? And then make sure you take time to pray for each other. We want to encourage each other, and we just want to love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's take that time for our table discussions now. Sorry, one more thing. Table facilitators, would you raise your hand? All right, let's look around and make sure that every table has a facilitator. If not, please, table facilitators, take care of that. Or we may have to combine. Okay, thank you. start praying? Okay. The Holy Spirit worked. Okay. So I want to make this real quick. Normally I would give you like a 1 minute warning, but y'all, we are already over. So that's wonderful. Did y'all have good table conversations? Yeah. Okay. We got one over there. Okay. A few over here. Awesome. Real quick, I want to interject something about life groups, and I want to couple on to what Lynn was saying earlier of the whole point of why we're doing this is to be the church. So even with life groups, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again. Life groups is not a program. We don't want another program. There's a lot of programs. There's a lot of things that people are being offered in church and out of church. We don't want another program. We want family, right? And we want to actually be the church outside of the walls, okay? What you're doing right now around the table, you know what life groups are? They're doing this in a home. So if you guys are like, I'm interested in leading a life group, but I don't think I wouldn't know what to do, or I'm interested in hosting, I wouldn't know what to do though, I'm not sure if I should take that step, or man, I kind of want to go to a life group to check it out, but don't know really how that's going to be. Am I going to be called out? Is it going to be weird? And you're already doing it. All of us are already doing it around our tables. And now it's taking that and doing it in the home. And guess what? It's even more fun because there's more conversation. There's food. Okay? I'm just going to say that. I should have started out with that. There's food. That's a real gathering opportunity. But there's worship. There's conversation. There's jokes. There's laughter. There's tears. There's experiencing life together in a deeper way, and diving into the Word in a deeper way, so we want to give you this opportunity, because our goal here is never to build up Grace Point. We don't want to make Grace Point's name great. We want to make God's name great. We want to make Jesus' name great in the community. So even doing life group, the point isn't to grow the Grace Point Church, it's to grow the Church of God, okay? We want to grow that in our communities, with our neighbors, with our friends that don't know the Lord, so it doesn't become a clique or a club. We were talking about that this morning in the Discover Grace Point class, which, by the way, there's one more class next week, 9:15 a.m. in the room of 209 over here. But anyway, so if you haven't gotten an opportunity to check out a life group yet, please check out the life group, because you're already doing it around your tables, and it's so much more fun in a home with food and with people that become friends and family, okay? So join us Tuesday or Wednesday at 6:30. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to, who's up in the sound booth? Josh. Hi, Josh. I see you. I'm going to hand it over to the announcements. If we can just turn our attention to the screen here, maybe turn the house lights down a little bit. It'll just take 2 minutes, and then we'll pray. Okay, two quick things. The quarterly meeting, which is at the end of the month, I encourage all to be here. If you've just been visiting, still come to it. Come and see what our family meetings are like, our family gatherings outside of just this. We have a lot of important updates coming up that we want to share with everyone. So please be there on the, I think it's the 31st, 30th or 31st. For the quarterly meeting. It's very, very important to have you here with us. Secondly, if you're interested in the Montana trip, please, please, please email or see Pastor Athel before the 31st of May. If you're at all interested, email him as soon as possible. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to Ken. Don't talk to Joe Schmo. Talk to Athel because we don't want it to go through the grapevine. He needs to hear it from y'all. I want to go. So email him. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for your everlasting love, your everlasting mercy, but we also thank you that you are fully the God of justice, Lord, and holiness, God. You love holiness, Lord, and we want to be a people of holiness, Lord Jesus. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask for your help this week. As we're walking throughout our day and we're going, we're making all these decisions, we ask for your help, Holy Spirit, to make every decision in a place of worship, to make decisions in a place of holiness and wanting to love and honor our Father and wanting to look like our Father. Holy Spirit, will you help us? Would you put the burning in our hearts, Lord, as we're saying yes to things and no to things, and the things that we're setting before our eyes, the things that we're setting before our stomachs this week, God, Lord, that we would be people set apart, Lord Jesus. Would you continue to just burn that in us of what that looks like to be a people set apart, pleasing to you, Lord Jesus, this sweet fragrance to you. Lord, we bless your name. We lift you high, Lord. And yeah, Lord, we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. All right, guys, the last week, I want to get a big woohoo because this is the last week we're going to be breaking down tables. Can I get a what? What? Yeah. You guys have been really faithful in helping, and we so deeply appreciate it. So deeply appreciate it. So this is the last week. We'll tear down the tables. We can put the tables over here behind this partition thing, and you know how to do all the chairs and all that jazz. So let's fellowship and have fun and set up the room. Bless y'all.